Dave Coleman, good morning.
Good morning, Ryan. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. When my friend can't remember someone's name, says a text, he turns on the Bluetooth on his phone and searches for other devices in the room, and it'll usually have the person's name listed, which is a great way of... That's just completely bonkers.
That is very clever, isn't it?
Isn't it?
Are you good at names?
Yes, I am, actually.
Are you?
I'm quite good, except that because the nature of the job, you'd meet many, many people, so I often get the, do you remember me? I don't know, what? 1989, you know, we were there in the lift. I don't know, what?
Yeah.
No.
There's a big thing about status, you know that, with names. And so those who are kind of higher status are not expected to remember the names of those who are lower status, whereas those who are lower status will always know the names of the people who are higher status.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
What makes somebody higher status and lower status?
Well, say, for example, you now, you're just well known because you're on the radio, you're on the TV.
Yeah, I can't help it.
Exactly. So people know your name. And so, again, they'll come up to you with real familiarity going, oh, Ryan, hi, how are you doing?
Or Brian, which I got a lot too.
Yeah, Brian. Yeah. Which you always correct, I notice.
When, on air or off air?
Both. I've seen you do both.
No, it's a gag. I never do it on air now because it happens so often on air. We just joke about it among ourselves, and the listeners who are in the joke get the joke too. And someone going, how are you, Brian? You know.
Yeah, but you care, you see. We all care about our names because I did a piece of research with Coca-Cola all about names and the importance of names. And we care about our names. They're really important to us. And so we will often correct people when they get our names wrong. Like I'm the same. If I'm called Dave, I go, yeah, no, David, hi.
Oh, hang on a second. They've got the gist of it right, which is that
but they shorten it. I don't like my, you know, that'd be like somebody
only
calling
by
you
one letter.
Rye.
I have been
Rye
called.
Rye humor. You have been called Rye.
I've been called Rye.
That fits your humor. But just to go back to the stages, just before I move on to the stages. Because so people know your name, and so again, like, you know, if you think of socially, when somebody comes up and says, oh, hi David, how are you doing, again, it suggests an easy familiarity, and you don't necessarily have that because this is a complete stranger to you, but yet they know your name, and so you'll feel a kind of a moral obligation to remember their name. And I'm desperate with names, so I very rarely remember people's names.
So what do you, how do you address them then?
Oh, I know, it's awful. I go, oh, hi, how are you doing? That's, yeah, great.
Do they ever say, you don't remember my name, do you? Does
anyone
ever, I don't like that.
Sometimes.
I don't like that messing.
And actually, only at the weekend, because I get very embarrassed and shy then about, about asking somebody their name if I've forgotten their name.
No, it's a new thing for me. I just shout it straight out. What's your name?
Okay.
Straight out, even if it's a waitress or a waiter or somebody in the shop or somebody. I say, what's it? Because especially if they're helpful, I always like to ask them their name.
Okay.
Straight up.
Yeah, because there's this woman who I remembered from school days, and I was looking at her for about an hour. We were out over the weekend, and I was thinking, oh, I know that woman now.
Oh, man,
I know, but I just can't remember her name. And I thought, I'm not going to go up and say hello until I remember her name.
And you didn't.
And I couldn't remember it. And eventually I went up and went, hi, you were in such and such a school, you know, and I don't know if you remember. Oh my God, David!
David, yeah, and she kept saying David, and I said,
I am so sorry, I just cannot remember your name.
She just thought you were in.
And she goes, oh no, it's fine, sure, but you meet loads of people now.
Also, you're getting older, David, and you know, it's been a long time since you were at school, and I think you should acknowledge that in as well.
Yeah.
There is the passage of time, which is becoming quite the passage.
At this time,
you could offer them to get them a can.
I actually now have to say, you know, my children show me something and they hold it right up to my face and go, no, old man eyes now. You need to hold it back another 6 or 8 inches so that I can actually focus on it.
Yeah, that happened to me. I was in Paris City on Saturday. I was just to get a little plug for something. And the guy was looking, they're going, I'll just look at it. And then he had to take it into the light going, you know the skirt? I said, I know what you're doing. And it was going down the arm. I said, I think you're into glasses time, my friend. You know, that's for sure. But you could always offer them to get the mechanical with the name on it and say,
there you are.
Say, oh, you had the school friend going, ah, it's yourself. Come here to me to this machine now.
Yeah, what would you like?
What name would
you going to get for somebody else now, or are you going to get for yourself?
And how do you spell that again? M-A-R-Y. Oh, yes, of course.
But we love personalized things. I mean, I think that's probably why that share of Coke, you know, campaign, it's so popular, people love it. It's coming back again this year. And
it's on the pier, they were flogging it on the pier in Delirium last week. They're not flogging it, they're giving it away.
Really?
Yeah.
With your name on it?
Yeah.
But we love it. We absolutely love things with our name on it. And even, you know, how we choose names, you know, baby names, for example. Guess who are the most, because Coke did a whole European survey, surveyed 1,800 people across Europe, and guess which are the country that pick their baby's names soonest?
As in when the baby's as I got?
You know, before, sometimes years before the baby's born, they have the name picked out.
Not Ireland.
No, Norwegians. Norwegians. 34, over a third of Norwegians will have their baby's name picked out definitively long before they've even gotten
pregnant.
That's
easy. It's either going to be Thor or Hagrid. Mm. So it's like they don't exactly have to...
And we Irish are the most impetuous when it comes to baby naming. So 30% of us would wait until the baby's out and go, oh, that's a Bob, or that's a Harriet.
Well, a lot of people, but I've heard this a lot, people say, we were going to call the baby, you know, Mary or freaking Anne or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And then they saw the baby and said, no, that's definitely not a Mary, it's an Anne.
Yeah.
You know, they have this thing. I mean, people have this natural, that baby's not a Fred, it's a Frank.
Or we had exactly that experience with,
you did?
With our own. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, our youngest. We had a name picked out, I won't say what it is now, but and then he was born and we just thought, oh, that's just not going to work.
It. Isn't that
it's
strange?
Just not going
just
to work.
You see the face and go, that's not, that Winston Churchillian Hitchcockian head has to be something more appropriate for them. It has to be, it's more of a George.
Yeah. And actually, in Ireland, we're still, like according to that Coke survey, we're still the country most likely to name children with some religious connotation.
We're still doing that.
Yeah, yeah. Over twice as often as our European counterparts. So they're about one in every 16 Europeans will name their baby after some religious figure. Whereas we
now, is that because of religion or is it because of family tradition plus also half the country so overrun with religion that we can't everywhere we look?
Well, family
there.
Tradition. We're also big family traditionalists. Again, about a third of children's names are all to do with.
Are you named after tradition. Anyone in your family?
No, I'm not. No, my second name is so I'm a David Michael, and that's my dad's name. And we did that with our son as well. We gave him my second
middle
name,
names,
and then our youngest son got the second name of his grandparents.
Good.
It's funny actually when I think of it now, and meaningful people like our daughter's second name is named after the midwife, who rescued her from near death.
Get away! Was that that close?
It was that close. Yeah,
That was a hairy really, time.
Yeah, it was.
That's why you lost all the hair. Was it on that birth?
That's back to old man. That's back to just age.
that passage that keeps.
It just happens. It just happens.
Yeah, Ryan comes from a cousin of my dad's. I think it was who was Hugh Ryan. And they weren't mad about the Hugh bit, I think.
Yeah.
And this went with the rhyme, as far as I know. And then the middle name is Patrick after my dad, so it's a kind of a mix of all of the above.
But you must get really frustrated with the spellings of Tuberty, do you?
Yeah, somebody presented us with a big cake on one of the shows last week with a big welcome to fill in town
the
here.
Place.
Ryan Tuberty.
Tuberty.
they were well intended. Needless to say, I sent the picture around the family just to say check. Because honestly, all our lives, it's a very strange name.
It is.
And it's a hard one to spell. It's all people call it Tuberty, Tidbury, Tuberty. Lots of B's and R's. And actually, it's just Tuberty, which is with a Y, which it's hard for people to. But Coleman, they must make
Coleman straightforward.
Do they get it right?
Usually, yeah. Well, sometimes they drop the E, you know, like the Coleman's mustard.
Coleman.
Yeah.
Alistair and Alistair. Alistair and Alistair.
Yeah.
It's one to watch too. Completely agree with David. My name is Pamela and it bugs me when I'm introduced. And in return, I'm called Pam. Mm. By the way, many friends and family call me Pam. That's okay. I would never alter a person's name. For example, I was ordering Interflora by phone recently and the rep called me Pam after 30 seconds. Having said all that, I call my daughter A. Her name is Amy. So how much can you abbreviate? What happens if somebody gets to know her Amy even better than A? It's just going to be Ryan, talk about forgetting names. An ex-boyfriend that I had gone out with for 5 years went to introduce me to his new girlfriend but couldn't remember my name. I didn't know who was more stunned, me as we had been together for all those years, or him as he was struggling to think of my name and was getting really embarrassed. He apologized to me next time he saw me and blamed Alzheimer's. I'm still baffled. Am I that easy to forget, as the song goes, says Kathy in Donegal?
No, I'd say poor Kathy. I'd say what happened there was that he spent so long trying to block down the pain of the separation and the breakup that it was just too much to bring back. The name brought it all back, so he just couldn't bring the name back. That's
what happened. That is the biggest heap of... I actually had something similar happen to me not so long ago. A very nice girl I knew many, many years ago, briefly, but pleasantly, and met her, and I couldn't place it. And it wasn't made easier by the fact that it was a kind of...
No, I'm shocked.
Everyone was awkward, and it seemed to go on forever because I wasn't... I just couldn't... It was, now I'm talking back in the late 80s now. Give me a break here.
Yeah.
But still... It was all a bit...
Sure, barely a slip of a thing then.
Come on, you remember.
You're still a slip of a thing, but like...
Come on, you remember. Come on.
Well, she'll not just go, Ryan, come on, my name is...
unfortunately. But anyway, we got there in the end, and it was a lovely reunion.
One of the other benefits of marriage for me now has been that my wife is great with remembering people's
She remembers
names.
Your name, does she?
No, everybody's name.
Oh, thank God.
So I will always hope that she's going to do the round of introductions. And David, do you remember Sean? I do, of course. Sean, how are you?
You're very lucky to have that.
I am very
lucky. You need those names remembered. You need those names.
I have my phone on. Oh, yeah. In here.
Did you get a text there?
No, but I never bring my phone in.
It's quite a random.
See, I don't usually wear a jacket in either.
Yeah, but you're obviously doing photos and stuff.
I'm going to be doing a few photos. Yeah.
My daughter is 11 years old. Okay, this is not about names. We'll go back to names.
Oh, well,
in a second.
We'll go. Yeah, we'll do other work.
We'll do a bit more bits and pieces. My daughter is 11 years old. She's been on a diet for 7 weeks. She's calling it healthy eating. She's cut out all sugar, salt, and fats. We're very worried about her as this has become very restrictive. She also wants to exercise after every meal. Is this excessive for an 11-year-old?
Yes, absolutely.
You have to get rid of that.
Yeah, 7 weeks as well is pretty consistent and certainly suggests that, as they say there, using that word restrictive, that she is deliberately trying to work hard now to restrict her diet, and that is really worrying. But having said that, becoming unfortunately more common in that age group, because there's a load of research out there just about the whole power of the media and advertising and the impact it's having on prepubescent girls coming into their pubescence, and it's just heartbreaking. And so then that kind of filters into the whole social circle and peer groupings and stuff, and so young girls feel this enormous pressure to be thin, but definitely if in terms of both the quantity and the nature of what she's eating, if you have a sense that it's restrictive in that way and she's looking to increase her exercise and stuff, that's not the way normal 11-year-olds go.
Because young girls can say every now and again, from a very young age, like, I'm fat, look. And of course, they're not picking them up, but it's just a thing they're hearing. As you say, they're picking it up.
Yeah. But even if they're of normal weight, and I think normal weight for 11-year-olds is, it isn't stick thin, And so, again, there's this misperception about what's normal. And that comes all the way back to advertising and the way, women's bodies are altered with Photoshop and stuff. And, these unattainable body shapes that kids then feel they have to grow into. It's awful.
David,
just to follow up, of course, in terms of advice for that person, I would definitely go talk to your GP and get a referral to somebody. I wouldn't let it slip, because as parents, you're going to struggle, and what will happen is that they'll end up in conflict with their daughter, because they'll be trying to persuade her to eat, and then that will become part of the dynamic, and so it'll become a little bit about the power and the control stuff rather than focusing on her genuinely being healthy. And so even if it's to get a referral to a dietitian, and so you say to the daughter, well, look, I get it. If you want to be healthy, I'm all for health. It's not about weight, it's about health. But let's find out then what's the best way to be healthy, because, the daughter has probably picked stuff up off, some of these Thinspiration sites and stuff.
Thinspiration?
Yeah.
Is that a thing?
Oh, Thinspiration, absolutely a thing. Yeah.
What is it?
Thinspiration is all about, it's to do with kind of what another word for some of the sites is pro-ana sites, pro-anorexia sites. So Thinspiration is all about, again, skinniness and how to be skinny and how much better you feel when you're skinny. And again, really frightening stuff, but it just becomes a deep pool that kids dive into and sometimes struggle to get out of. So do follow that up with, or try and get yourself into contact with somebody for some professional advice.
There. Good. Back to nomenclature. We named our son Francis after his grandfather, but we gave him the second name Benedict. So he is, in fact, Francis Benedict, and people call him the Pope now, and he loves it. Frankie Benny.
Francis is one of those names as well, which can, depending on how it's spelled, can be for
male or female.
Yeah, male or female. And I always think that's tricky as well. I'm not sure. Having said that, now I've Aina, our youngest son, is called Aina, and
Aina Leigh and Launa.
Exactly. So there's a
lady.
Yeah. Yeah, who's the? She's on the
Mooney Goes Wild.
Mooney Goes Wild all the time. So obviously,
and your son is a man.
He is. Well, he will be.
And he will be someday. And Francis with an I is a bloke, and Francis with an E is a gal.
Yeah, although I've seen some Francis with an I as well who are women.
We have a lady, a lovely lady who works in reception here by the name of Phil Collins. No joke, Phil Collins works in reception in RT. Why wouldn't she?
That's fantastic.
I don't know what age Phil Collins. She's a very youthful looking lady.
I would love to see that drum solo all over again. I'd love to see that drum solo.
Can we get a set of drums into the reception? I can feel this call coming in. Definitely. Actually, if we get her in a Planet of the Apes suit and go for the whole... I know, stop. Poor old Phil. She's working this morning. Now, another question for you, which is about a girl who's 13. She's our daughter, says the text, and she's losing all her friends and always on her own. No, that's it. That's it. One line. Oh. One line.
Oh, I thought you were going to give it a little bit of background there.
I'd love to share more with you, but that's all I have.
Okay. Losing all her friends. Gosh, you're going to have to do a bit of investigation as to what that's about. Because, again, you know, sometimes children lose friends because, you know, their whole personality is just they're a bit, you know, a bit bossy, a bit aggressive, a bit unpleasant to other kids. Sometimes they lose friends because they get sidelined and isolated. And so it's nothing about them. It's to do with, you know, the other kids and what's suddenly cool and fashionable. And your daughter just suddenly isn't cool or fashionable. And so it's going to make a huge difference in terms of how you're going to respond to that issue. Because if you know that your daughter, for example, does have a tendency to be bossy, you know, when she's with other kids, you hear her, you know, telling them what to do and the other kids just don't like it, then that's about training her and showing her, coaching her in how to get on with people. Whereas if she's been sidelined and excluded and has lost her friends because she's just been pushed out, then that's an issue where you're probably going to want to talk to, you know, if they're back in school, say in September, or even with some of the other parents of friends and just say, look, you know, what's going on? Is there a shift in the dynamic? You know, because oftentimes it's when either a new child joins a dynamic or leaves. And so suddenly everybody jockeys for position and shifts around and somebody gets squeezed out sometimes. So it's hard to know, you know, unless we get some indication of whether that's more to do with her and how she is, or whether it's to do with just the other kids and mean.
Could be 13 as well. You're into another zone, aren't you, in terms of the gear shift of time and age?
Yeah, but 13-year-old girls are madly social.
For the most part,
I think so. Yeah, predominantly. Yeah, I mean, obviously, you don't want to. You know, there are individuals and so on. But as a general, as a grouping, 13-year-old girls are very sociable and into their sociability.
True.
And you know, so it's all about the peer group at age 13.
And the words "oh my god" and the word "like." I have a 6-year-old son who has what I can only describe as two personalities. He goes from being the best in the world from helping around the house to being a really good little boy. Who can take anything, who you can take anywhere, however, on correction. At home, he can become very angry. He stamps his feet, curses, tells us he hates us. And recently, saying that we hate him, which, needless to say, upset me so much. What's the best way to deal with this proactively?
Okay, so that sounds like, if you have that real strong split, it sounds like he might have some kind of be a bit anxious in his relationship with his parents. And so he's either been really kind of over good to try to make sure that they're holding on to him, that they're you know, looking out for him. And then, of course, if they give any hint that they're displeased, because he's working so hard to maintain their approval, that if they withdraw that approval in some way because they have to give out to him because he's done something that's bold or wrong, then he just freaks, he gets scared. So I wonder if actually his fury is about anxiety, that he actually is really scared about his parents' disapproval, about not being loved by his parents. And so what they might want to do is just even think about how are they reacting to him in the good times. What are they saying to him? What way are they treating him when he's very good? Does he get loads of positive feedback about that? And then, you know, they might want to reduce how kind of how nice they are to him when he's in good form, and maybe tone it down a little bit, just be kind of regular with him. And then I think that'll balance out then the bit that he won't be so, because he'll just realize that they love him because he is, as opposed to what he does. And he may feel that his, you know, that their love, their approval is based on what he does and how he is. And so if he's done something bad, then he's afraid that he's about to be basically banished from the family.
Okay.
So that's how I'd approach that.
Regarding the 11-year-old on the diet, I'm 14, says the text, and one of my friends doesn't eat when she's anxious, and this could go on for days. What should I do? Now, this is the 14-year-old friend looking for a little advice for a pal.
You know, it's very hard, I think, for 14-year-olds to persuade their friends to act differently. And so sometimes, you know, if you're concerned about your friends, sometimes the best thing you can actually do, even though it goes against all the grain of a 14-year-old, is talk to your parents, your own parents, talk to your own mum and dad about it, because they will give you some good advice about whether or not they feel they should approach this other girl's family. And actually sometimes, you know, when in my experience, when young people get stuck in patterns of behaviour, you know, it's almost impossible to get them out of it until such time as they get, you know, kind of, I suppose, a bit of a push from people that they trust and respect, people who they really listen to. And sometimes that can be from their friends, but other times it actually has to come from someone like a parent or an uncle or an aunt or somebody.
You'd welcome that intervention, wouldn't you? I mean, as a dad.
Oh, I'd love to hear.
Friends, parents saying, listen, we just got this in the grapevine. No nosiness here, just for your own. You'd welcome that.
I would.
One
certainly.
Would.
Yeah, I think so. And so, you know, if you're worried about your friend, sometimes the best way to help your friend is actually to, you know, allow the information to spread a bit wider, you know, because sometimes secrets that you're aware of, you know, it preys on your mind. Then you carry her worry, you know, you get stressed because you're worried because she's not eating, your fridge is going to get sick, and that's not fair on you either. So I'd pass that up the line and talk to your own mum and dad in the first instance.
I think that's fine advice too. Mary says, I need advice. A family we know come to visit us often. Unfortunately, their children's hair is constantly crawling with head lice, and they never seem to do anything about it. I'm just fed up having to treat my own children for lice after they go. What should I do? Well, I mean, that's
if they come regularly, okay, you obviously know them well enough. I'd say it to them.
A family we know come to visit us often. Yeah, would you?
Yeah.
How do you start? How do you start that conversation?
And go, well, you know, I don't know. Yeah, you're right. Actually, you're right. You're right. God, you like, know, the you theory start? Of it is
so
great.
Let's role play. Okay, so I'm the Mankey family, right, with the hair. You're not, because...
Can I not be the Mankey family?
No, because you don't have hair. You're grand. So you're there and you're fine. Okay, I'm Mankey family. Go, hey, how's it going? The kids are running around. They're in the playroom there and they're sharing lice and like the zoo where they're taking the bits of the fleas out of each other.
Okay.
And you know, wait, we're role playing, so don't talk to me. Talk to me as the... Now, hi, David. How's it going? John, some more tea. I love another biscuit. Yeah. This is great. So any news?
Yeah,
all the rest of it.
So you've gone now, all right? Because I'm not going to talk to you. I'm not going to. Well, I can't because I've no evidence, all right?
The kids are scratching their heads like chimpanzees in the zoo.
So what I'm going to say to you then is that when you go, I'm going to say, listen, just to let you know, my kids have head lice.
Are you phoning me now?
Yeah.
Okay.
My kids have head lice, and I noticed when your kids were over that they were doing a lot of scratching as well. You really probably should check your kids' hair for head lice.
Oh, really?
We just had to go through the whole clearing out the heads in the last week or so. So, you know,
I'm kind of a bit annoyed that your kids gave my kids head lice.
Yeah, well, I mean, who knows where it starts? Sometimes it starts
probably your
anywhere.
House, because we just came over to your house. We were fine.
Well, I don't know. I noticed your kids were... Actually, we're not friends anymore. Just go away.
Don't ever
darken my door. Isn't that often that when you come across a problem, you just can't fix
you
it?
You did that well, look.
I'm sorry. Okay. Just don't come around, you and your itchy kids. Itchy and scratchy. Take itchy and scratchy away with you.
All right. Which one are you saying here? But the 9-year-old can't sleep. My 9-year-old cannot settle at night, says a text. She's now using a meditation app to sleep every night. Is it good for her to be dependent on this, or should I try something else?
No, it's fine. Okay. Because again, you know, children's sleeping comes in and out of happy cycles in my experience. And there are often times when children struggle to sleep, because sleeping and toileting are probably the two areas where children will show that they're stressed first. So you see a change in their toileting, so they'll start wetting themselves or whatever. Or you'll find that our bedwetting is another good example. If they start bedwetting, that's a sign that they're anxious. And the same with sleep, disrupted sleep, either struggling to get to sleep because there's a lot on their mind and they're doing a lot of thinking, or that they're waking up with things like nightmares and whatever. That's usually a sign of some kind of anxiety. So it may be that stuff is going on in your 9-year-old's life, and chances are that will resolve itself and her sleeping will go back to normal. So using the meditation tapes, if it helps her to get to sleep, then that's great, because all that's doing is allowing your brain to switch from this really active, what do they call it? The normal thinking rhythms, I can't think of it, but down into alpha waves, which is where we're kind of half awake, half asleep. And then that, you know, drops down deeper into delta waves eventually when we fall into a deep sleep. But it's getting into that kind of alpha wave zone where we're just kind of drifting off. And that's usually what meditation tapes help you do, because they help your brain to switch off the thinking about all the other stuff that's going on in your life. And you just begin to focus, obviously, on whatever the meditation is about. And that relaxes your body. And then it's fine to dread it. That's you know, you're not, it's not that you become dependent upon it, and you know, like with any habit, you know, when you get into a habit, it's easy and not easy but it's possible always to get yourself out of the habit.
Okay.
You can retrain out of the habit, but using a meditation tape, there's no reason why she wouldn't use meditation tapes for the next number of years if it kept working for her. Chances are she won't need them in the same way, but you know, I think it's okay.
There's loads of really good ones, but we're kind of running out of time. Is what we have a break in the competition thing to do. We'll do another one, which is, My friend's son has just gone 12 and has anorexia, which is young and male is new to me now. Yeah. It's not that common. It's not this new, but it's not certainly not. How do I explain this to my son, who's his best friend?
Okay.
Man, that's a tricky one, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, again, you know, the thing about anorexia is that anorexia, sometimes it's about body image and it's about, you know, an aspiration to have a certain kind of body shape. Sometimes it's about kind of power and control, and sometimes it's about anxiety and stress and so on. And so you don't know what it is that's led this particular 12-year-old friend to get into the situation of having the anorexia. But really what you're explaining to your own child is that, look, you know, your friend, you know, is really probably very stressed. He's probably very unwell. He's not eating healthily, and as a consequence then he's ending up with whatever the treatment is, because it may be that he's gone into hospital, or he's just beginning to look gaunt and unwell, and everybody kind of knows that he's getting help for it, and so, you know, all you can say is, look, he just needs good friends around him, he needs support, he needs to know that, you know, people care about him, and, you know, for yourself, again, you know, all you need to do is just, you know, remain healthy and just keep thinking about being healthy, and that means eating and exercising and having fun and lazing about and all the other things that you need to do to be balanced. And so what's happened for your friend is that he's probably got a bit out of balance. That's often a good way to explain it.
Okay, good on you. And one last one, actually, is from a 16-year-old fella. What?
You see, you set the goalpost and then you go, actually, we'll just go a little bit beyond.
Yep, that's live radio. I'm a 16-year-old boy and my best friend left me a year ago, and basically I don't have anyone here to talk to. I've given up talking to people. I have a girlfriend in England and a load of friends over in the UK. We know each other through Twitter because we are what's called gold diggers. That is to say, fans of Ellie Goulding.
Oh,
okay.
Okay.
I'm very happy with them and all, but I have got mocked for it from people here in Cork. Is it a bad or good idea that I have friends in the UK? We Skype all the time.
No, it's not a bad thing at all. You know, we do fall in and out of friendships a lot through our lives. Like, you know, I mean, I was even thinking of when I met up with that woman at the weekend, and, you know, I hadn't seen her since school days.
Yeah.
And like, that's 25 years or more.
Yeah.
I couldn't remember her name.
Yeah.
But, you know, I got over that and dealt with it appropriately as an adult.
Like it sounded like something out of a Larry David sketch. It went on forever. It sounds like the least smooth escape from an awkward situation that I've ever heard.
There was nothing smooth.
No, I know.
And I knew there would be nothing
smooth.
Social
sandpaper.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm bad like that.
I know that. Back to our friend.
Yes. So so we fall in and out of friendships. And so the fact that, you know, it's an interesting expression, you know, my best friend left me.
Yeah.
Which would suggest that your best friend, for whatever reason, just found a new set of friends, or just turned away, or just no longer seemed interested. And that's very hard. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, that's going to leave you feeling like, you know, there might be something wrong with you, which, of course, there probably isn't. And so that's about your friend at the time just, you know, doing something different, something new with other people and stuff. But the hurt, you know, you end up with the hurt because you get left behind.
Yeah.
But there, I suppose, you know, for this young lad, like, he does have friends and he has a social circle. So,
yeah.
You know, that's okay. It's just harder for him because they're just not close by. And but, if, you know, if he's able to Skype, he's able to stay in touch. He's got a lot in common with them. And so that's not a bad thing. But no, absolutely. I mean, I think it's much better to have friends that you feel you can be in contact with. It doesn't matter where they are. And you know, that's the benefit of technology these days.
Well, when we're doing this again, which will be early to mid August, I think we should do a because there's so many young people getting in touch with us, let's leave it to them to ask the questions. So do a kind of a teens questions by text, because it's anonymous for the most part, and if they want to ask questions that they might find awkward talking to their parents about, and they can ask you, wouldn't that be something to consider?
Absolutely, it'd be delighted to.
So let's do that. We'll give you the details closer to the time, but maybe the next time you're in, we'll do that. So
yeah.
we'll let the younger generation have a go at the text and give them the show for that.
Although
morning.
Having said that, I'd say over half. Well, at least I don't know. There were loads of texts from
the younger people. Yeah, but themselves. Maybe now if we encourage them, they might enjoy it more. Tubbs@rte.ie if you want to send emails in the next few weeks, and then we'll get to them with Dave. I think that'd be a nice thing to do.
I'll have to remember their names.
Well, yeah, we might
have to give them a bottle of Coke with their name on it.
With a sticker every time. David Coleman, thanks so much indeed for coming to see us today.
Pleasure.
As always, and we'll see you in a few weeks' time. Thank you. The Nicky Byrne Show on 2.